Creekside with Don and Jan. Welcome to Creekside with Don and Jan. If you care to live in harmony with nature and the land, and you wish to live more peacefully with all your fellow man, if self-reliant living is a big part of your plan, if you like to talk some politics with those who really can, this is the time, this is the place, Creekside with Don and Jan. Sit right down and make some space, Creekside with Don and Jan. Let's get started right away, Creekside with Don and Jan. No more singing, no delay, Creekside with Don and Jan.
Well, howdy and welcome to another episode of Creekside with Don and Jan. Hi, I'm Don Stover.
And I'm Jan Stover, and this is episode 237, and we're recording it in advance because our August schedule is crazy hectic, and we have a special guest, and his schedule wasn't meshing with ours. We found a date that worked, and we said, come on down.
His August schedule is crazy hectic, too.
Yes, but different dates. So we finally found something that would work, and we've got him in the studio tonight here at Atta Brothers.
We've got him chained down so he can't get out.
And let's tell the audience who him is.
Him is guest Evan Wrench. Yay!
Yay! Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. We're so glad to have you back.
Well, Owl Creek readers and the Creekside with Don and Jan listeners will remember Evan Wrench's inspiring continental-wide journey. Oh, that was a journey. And which he graciously shared in our publication and on the podcast in 2015 and at our Journeys in Self-Reliance Exposium in 2016. Mm-hmm. So he's back in Greenville. You're getting ready to go back to school at U of I.
Yep.
Your most recent journey you took starting on May 19th, Evan put his kayak in the headwaters of the Missouri River near Three Forks, Montana. Having never been on a river before, he had a lot to learn, and I'm assuming you're going to tell us something about that in the onset here.
Yeah, sure.
And the intention was to float down the river 2,300 miles to its confluence with the Mississippi. Well, 2 months later, he pulled up on the steps of the arch, and we are excited to have him here at Creekside with Don and Jan. Yay!
And we talked about before we went on the air how that song can stick in your mind and you can toe tap when you least expect it.
It does. It sticks in my head every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. And pops right out, huh?
Yeah, it's very strange. Like, I don't even listen to the podcast and it does it.
Where'd that come from? Yeah, it just comes it comes out in strangest ways. Mm-hmm. It does. And the never been in a kayak. So what possessed you to say, I'm going to kayak the Missouri River?
I don't know if it's really a kayak thing as much as it is a traveling distance thing. That is something I've done in the past and I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. I guess there's a romance to it. But this time, instead of walking, I knew last time I was walking, I was like, this is really cool, but I've done this. And there was something the first time I went for the big walk, it was special because I had never done that before. So, mm-hmm.
I love how you call that the big walk.
The big walk.
Because when you think about the Continental Divide Trail, mm-hmm. A walk is an understatement, but that's okay.
Yeah.
It's a big darn walk.
It's a big darn walk, yes.
It's not much more than walking. And so it's not much more than floating on a kayak, but this time I had the rivers to guide me instead of, going along the tops of the mountains. Mm-hmm. There's kind of a natural trail right there, which I thought was really cool.
Well, I've never been to Montana that I can remember, other than to maybe fly over Montana. It's hilly terrain in places. It's dead flat in others. Are there fast waters anywhere in the Missouri?
A little bit. Where you start out, I think my first few miles, I think I was averaging 12 miles per hour.
Oh, wow.
Which is pretty fast.
That's booking.
Yeah, definitely. And it speeds up, slows down a little bit. And that's just for the first 20 miles of the river, really. After that, it slows down pretty fast. But it's real clear water, so you're seeing the rocks underneath you go underneath it, that you see you're flying over the rocks, and you look down and you're like, holy cow, I'm really moving. It felt like I was holding on the whole time.
Wow.
Yeah.
that's got to be cool. And deep, wide, narrow?
All three. Different points. Yeah. It really changes. I definitely really enjoyed checking. I mean, just seeing the way the river changes. It's so living. And unlike mountains where you see thousands of years or tens, hundreds of thousands of years of change, you can see on rivers very easily the changes that have happened over the last 50, 60 years. And it's kind of so dynamic and young that you can't see in the mountains, which was total change for me.
Well, did you, you know, at some point in time, I mean, if I'm floating down the Missouri River, I'm thinking, you know, at some place I'm going to be channeling Meriwether Clark here or Meriwether Lewis right there. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so I was like considering I just wanted to do a long river. I thought that was a really cool idea, but I didn't know which river. And it wasn't until I started like studying Meriwether Lewis and William Clark that I was like, all right, I should really go do the Missouri. And the history, I don't know why recently I've been into history, and their trip was so inspiring. They're pretty incredible. And the whole way down, I got to see, you know, the island where he got charged by a grizzly bear, when they met the Teton Sioux, all these different, like, landmarks. It was really cool. Certain, like, specific rocks that Lewis stood upon, you know, like that.
It almost gives you chills, doesn't it?
It was really cool, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I'm verklempt. It's that would have to be awe-inspiring, you know, to know that you've stepped foot in exactly the same place as they did.
Definitely.
And theirs was a winter journey partially too, was it not? Because
yeah,
of the
two winters.
They were going up, you know, the river, which is flowing the opposite direction.
Yeah.
So they're battling the
suckers.
Whole way. Yeah. Sucker. You should have gone the other way.
They got to come the other way on the way back. But, yeah. Yeah.
Well, when you think about when you made your journey on the Continental Divide, and I remember part of the things that fascinated us was what you decided to pack, what you knew you had to bring, and how you scaled down the weight of that to almost nothing. You know, everything was contemplated. So when you began to pack for this trip, what did you think of? The same kind of thing, weight and needs? Or
yeah, so I was really busy with school, so I didn't have a lot of time to really consider that, and I figured I'll just bring what I brought on my hiking stuff, but with a boat. And then like the week leading up to it, I was like, oh wait, there's all these other things that I need to consider for safety.
I need 10 feet of moleskin.
Yeah.
Like, mostly for my butt.
It was a lot of like, just like rope, a life jacket, things like that. I actually found like a wetsuit in, a Goodwill in Champaign, Illinois.
Oh, wow.
For $15. It was my size and it had the brand of my kayak right on the front.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It was meant to be.
Yeah,
do you have a picture of yourself with that?
I don't. No.
Oh, wow.
Actually, I'm in, like, I usually wore underneath these clothes. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Gotcha.
Which was pretty cool. I was just, and like $15 was like $200.
So mm-hmm. Yeah, no
but,
kidding.
But, you know, going out there, we had like loaded up the car and I was just like, what am I going to do with all this stuff? How am I going to carry this? Because I felt like I really stripped it down. And I talked to some other people, other paddlers who knew what they were doing, and they were like, yeah, this is really lightweight. But compared to backpacking, it was a lot of stuff, which kind of got tiresome mm-hmm. sometimes.
Paddlers that go the other direction. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are the guys with the 12-inch biceps and or the 72-inch biceps, mm-hmm. Popeye arms. your excursion was it mostly steering or was it backbreaking work?
It wasn't, like, I was using the pedal system. Mm-hmm. So I actually have, like, a set of pedals that dropped into the kayak. As I am a hiker, I don't have, like, any upper body strength, but I do have legs, and I know that my legs can go all day long. So seeing that, I work at an outdoor store, and they, like, brought in this type of kayak specifically, and I was like, that's the one. I want that.
That's my kayak.
Yeah. So I used that, and it wasn't as physically demanding as hiking was. At times, I would say that the trade-off for that was it was often more miserable than the mountains, just like more brutal elements, I guess. But it wasn't as bad physically.
How were the bugs? You know, the mosquitoes and things like that.
Surprisingly, sometimes they weren't that bad. And then, like, as you would expect, like, horrible other times.
Yeah.
I saw some photographs on Facebook that you had posted about mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Well, take us on, and I know this. I know every day will vary according to the speed at which you're going and the weather and that kind of thing. But what was a general day like for you? What time you got up, and how did you decide to head out? That kind of thing.
Yeah, generally, not too far away from what I would have done, like hiking, which is I would get up, try to get up at sunrise or a little bit before. Get on the river, which just takes me packing up. At first, the whole process of packing up my camp might have taken me like an hour, but towards the end, it was like 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You really get everything refined. Once you're on, it's just kind of sitting there. I was pumping my legs all day long, like 12 hours. And usually I would take one break in the middle of the day, try to find a shady spot that wasn't like muddy. That didn't always happen. But, you know, I would probably take a 45-minute, hour-long break. Sometimes I'd take a quick nap and get back on the river and go till 6, 7, 8, till like I felt like it was starting to get dark, and always considering what was around, you know. Some of it's really developed, so I'd have to take a site where I could find it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there are people that actually just live right on the river, so you'd be parking in their backyards for the night, or...
Yeah, they wouldn't like that.
Yeah, they
but I did.
you just do it after dark, and they don't know it.
Yep.
Okay. Well,
wait till the sun is set, and then you get in their backyard, and then you get out before the sun rises.
Well, we won't tell them who that were, you know. Maybe they already know, though.
Well, I know on your trails, in your journey that way, you met up with people and became friends with people. Was there that opportunity to meet folks on the river too?
Yeah, definitely. Like 2 weeks before I left, a friend suggested that there was like this Facebook group just for people paddling the Missouri River. And that actually turned out to be a huge blessing. It's not like the trails where there are like thousands of people attempting it each year. There were 6 people this year doing the Missouri River. So it was much more, a lot more communication. People were really interested and able to help. Or not help, but just come along and meet me. And when I set out, I met a guy who, in 2004, the bicentennial of Lewis and Clark's expedition, he went all the way up the river, over the mountains, and then down the Columbia. So he, like, did their trip.
Oh, wow.
Much faster than they did it, actually. And then, I guess he had modern tools.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
I met William Clark's great-great-great-great-grandson. He's making dugout canoes in Missouri.
Oh, love that.
Yeah, which was really cool. And I met a guy. He put me up in his house. He canoed the whole thing in 1979, but he lives during the flood of 93, the river came right to his doorstep, and he actually learned how to swim by swimming in the Missouri when he was a little kid.
Oh, wow.
So that's, I met cool. A lot of really cool people.
And was there any stellar incident that you had that, you know, will stick with you forever type stuff?
I would say a few.
Well, any you can share?
Any you want to share?
I would say the lakes were a huge challenge in just how massive they are and how remote they are. I remember one time there are 3 major lakes on the river, and that is Fort Peck, Lake Sacagawea, and then Lake Oahe. And that would be in the order going downstream. And those range anywhere from 150 miles for the paddler to 240 miles for the paddler. And for those, you got no current. And that is the biggest challenge, is the dams, because almost a third of the entire length is dammed. So there's no current for that stretch. On those, the wind picks up, you know, eastern Montana, north, south Dakota. The wind just nonstop. It'll pick up for 20, 30 miles per hour all day. And there was a time I was on shore for almost 48 hours in just setting. There's nothing I could do. These waves.
The wind was blowing the wrong way.
Yep, the wind was blowing, and not just the wrong way, but there's this huge cliff. I would have had to, you know, follow for like over a mile, and if something would have happened, I wouldn't have been able to get to shore.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, I don't feel safe doing that, and I had to sit there for like 2 days. There was one time, the very first lake I hit, I'd heard plenty of horror stories of people being on the lake for like 14 days straight.
Well, there's a song that I've got, you know, Waiting for Calmer Weather.
Just, I don't know just, that. No,
I know. It's one you should write, Waiting for Calmer Weather.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Sounds good. Let me write it down. Yeah, and like I started looking at maps, and you know, I'd been there for almost 2 days, started looking at maps, like, all right, like, this doesn't let up. How am I getting out of here? And I realized that there's not a road for like 40, 50 miles. And I was like, I am out here. It was crazy. I've been like up in the mountains, but most of the time there's a road within 10 miles or something.
Yeah.
It seemed very, very remote. Yeah.
The feeling of aloneness crept in at that time, didn't it?
Oh, definitely.
It?
Yeah.
Were you able to be in communications with family and friends through some of this journey?
Definitely. I mean, I had like cell phone service for a lot of it. I think there was like a 300-mile stretch where I didn't have anything. But other than that, especially once you get like into South Dakota, it was pretty pretty common.
So was your carrier Sprint or Verizon?
It's Verizon. From my experience, Verizon has done very well in the wilderness.
Yeah. We should do a commercial right here. Huh?
I think we did.
Oh, we just did.
Yeah.
We just nobody got paid for it. But you're grateful to them because of that situation. You don't want to be out of communication too long.
Yeah. Definitely.
That would be bad.
Yes.
But the it's something I've always wondered about. You know, you're traveling along at 70, 80 miles an hour on surface roads, and you're never out of cell phone coverage unless you're out in our equivalent of no interstate system around here. And, you know, maybe that just doesn't happen.
It'd be hard to find.
Yeah, it's tough to find no service.
Below some hills or something.
Yeah. You got to go up the Red Ball Trail, 10 miles, and there's no cell phone service up there. And that's really the case. It's few and far between. And, you know, if you've got the one carrier that's got some service, that's another topic for another day. You never put yourself in danger, so you didn't get injured. You're obviously all in one piece, right?
Yeah, I never even flipped the canoe over. Kayak. Yep, stayed dry the whole time.
Stayed dry, yeah. And your telephone stayed dry and all that stuff. It's obvious that you put that stuff in a plastic bag so that it'll float and that kind of thing.
Lots of plastic bags.
There's no doubt about that.
Well, when you said that you basically just pulled off at dusk or nighttime and got off, did you ever have a chance to go into a town, or was that not part of your plans? You just kept on the
yeah, river? I went into town a lot. I didn't have any plans starting out. I was I talked to a guy and he said, well, most people are taking 10 to 12 days right now getting to Great Falls. I talked to him. That was the day before I left. And I was like, all right, 10 to 12 days. That's the amount of food I needed. Turns out there were a couple towns on the way to Great Falls. And then Google Maps was usually on trails, I've had guidebooks or something. But here, the guidebook was very just the river. It didn't talk about resupply. And just getting on Google Maps and looking for roads, looking for gas stations, that was the process of just finding out where I can get supplies. It turns out it was quite a bit, as you would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Calories.
Yeah. It wasn't too bad. I probably ate more than I deserved. Yeah.
So if you went into town, did people recognize you as someone on the river? Did you have that river look?
I don't know if they see enough people that they associate it with the river. I think sometimes they're just that's a dirty guy. Yeah. And they're wondering what I'm doing there. Yeah.
The water's cold too, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what was your favorite part? Don asked if you had anything that really stuck in your mind, but was there an episode or something you could share that was maybe your favorite?
The northern, up in Montana, there's some really incredible stretches. I would say the Missouri River Breaks is what it's known as. It's a national monument, and it is basically the most pristine and most similar to what Lewis and Clark would have experienced. You can go downstream in sections of it with a motor, but you can't go upstream with a motor because it would create too much for the shores, just too much disturbance, which is really cool. And it's just paddler's paradise, really. And that's almost that's 150 miles. And then after that, there's Fort Peck Lake, which is where I got stuck and didn't find a road for 40 miles. And that stretch is just pristine wilderness. Beautiful. Yeah.
It leaves you in awe of it, doesn't it?
Yeah. It was really cool.
You mentioned, off mic, there were, towns that are, as we were, interstate towns. We experience interstate towns that just don't bother with travelers at all.
Yeah. I was surprised to see. I figured, all of those towns were built up as river towns. Mm-hmm. That was the commercial route that everybody took. The gold diggers went up the rivers. That was how the crop was gone down. And now I would have figured that the towns were on the river, but they're not anymore. They're pushed back. And that river moves so much that the banks are not the same what they would have been 200 years ago when those towns were being developed. And now it seems like most of those roads are 2, 3, 4 miles from the river. And it seemed, that would be a long time to take an hour and a half of walking in one direction. So I was I'll just keep on going. And you're passing these towns, but you don't see them for, a couple hundred miles at a time.
Wow.
Yeah. And
I guess you talk about moving towns. Look at our little Valmire down here. They had to move Valmire, up off of the Mississippi floodplain.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so
those rivers are ferocious.
They are.
Yeah.
When they go out of banks, so does everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess life on the river is not constant because the river is not constant.
It's all changing.
It's constantly changing.
I was in a small town in Missouri. It was on the Missouri-Kansas border. I wish I could remember the name. And I went, I actually like hauled my kayak. I had a set of wheels. That's how I got around. And there's a ramp like 0.3 miles from a barbecue place, which I was really excited about. So I hauled my kayak 0.3 miles uptown and left it right on the sidewalk. Same thing as up here on the square, and went to eat. And when I came back, there was a barge going down the river and all the locals were standing on the sidewalk taking pictures. And I heard a guy yell, "Hey, like there's a barge going down the river." And I was like, "Is this normal?" And he was like, "No, we don't see these anymore."
Wow.
Which I was surprised to hear. Maybe it's just that far up the river, but that's just north of Kansas City. So I figured there were more barge traffic. I never saw a barge on the river. That was the only one. Like when I was on the river, I didn't see anyone pass me.
You saw no one? Not just barges. You saw...
I saw a few like kayakers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did see barges once I hit the Mississippi, but nothing on the Missouri. Yeah.
Well, and that's surprising because you would think that being that close to Kansas City, that there would be some barge traffic.
Yep. You know? I saw barges like getting loaded or something, but I never saw them moving.
Oh, wow.
Which was really surprising. Yeah.
You know, lots of sand and lots of concrete move, on the Mississippi, you know, and, golly, I'm guessing grain still moves up and down the Mississippi.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they were telling me something about the train lines. Mm-hmm. It's so cheap to transport that way now.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, what are you majoring in college if you're talking about a love of history? Is that the direction you're going?
No, I want to teach high school English. That's kind of my goal. There's a lot of like loops to jump through to get that certification, and I'm trying to jump through them. But, yeah.
So you can't get any credit for kayaking in college?
I didn't ask. No, I don't know.
Yeah, extracurricular activities or something.
They only want I before E, except funny, after C.
Funny story. I was at KC here in town, and I was getting ready to hike the Appalachian Trail, and they told me I needed one personal development credit to graduate. And so I was like, well, what can I do for one personal development credit? And they said, well, you can take walking online. And I said, all right, I'll take walking online while I go out, walk on the Appalachian Trail. And I got an A.
I would think so. Yeah. If you didn't, something would have been wrong with that.
Yeah, well, that's
A plus, I would think, if they gave that.
Well, I'd be upset if they give you anything. But as a personal journey, are you? Let's see, you've done the Appalachian Trail. You've done one of the country's largest and longest rivers. What's next?
I actually don't have any plans. I don't think that means I'm done, but I guess I enjoy being outside, and especially for a long period of time, for multiple months. But no plans right now.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, how long were you on the river?
It was actually like one day short of 2 months. Yeah.
Well, I've always thought about, you know, getting a little rowboat and putting in the Shoal Creek, you know.
And we used to play in like a tributary of Shoal, and who doesn't have that thought?
Yeah, and just hop in the Shoal Creek and make my way down to Breeze and buy a beer.
Yeah.
You know?
That'd be so cool.
Yeah. At Shoal Creek water is turned into Excel Brewing, you know? So why not?
Yeah.
You know something.
So we have to be careful what we do in that creek.
Mm-hmm. Something I don't know why I didn't think of this. When you started on your journey, we should have had you wear a sign sponsored by the Owl Creek Gazette. Yeah. We went along with you in spirit, and we shared your journey, but it would have been nice if we had a darn sign on your back.
There was plenty of space for stickers on there.
Yeah.
We need bling, Jan.
Yes.
We're going to have to get some bling.
Okay, let us know in advance next time you hop on in a boat or start to take off anywhere, and we'll do what we can.
We'll even give you money.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Tattoo. That would be interesting, huh?
Yeah,
that would
be fun.
Well, and we mentioned that you are wanting to teach English. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that would be an adventure in and of itself, because teaching is no small task. It can be wonderful. It can be challenging. It can be all those things. So what age did you say you want to teach?
High school.
High school. Yeah. You'd be a cool teacher. I can imagine.
I hope.
I can imagine if we had you as a teacher. It's like, do you know what all this guy's done? Before he came here, he did. Because that would be exciting, and I think it would be encouraging for them to see you can, you know, really think outside the box and live that dream, and it's not so difficult. It's just you've got to decide to do it and do it.
Definitely. I intend to tell all of my kids not to go to college. Yeah. Tell them to go do other things first. Yeah.
And that's kind of how you've lived, isn't it? You started school, and then you decided, wait a minute, I want to do this, and now's the best time.
Yeah, definitely. And now I'm back in school. My mom was so worried for a couple of years there, but I'm back.
Yeah, well, she's seen the movie Failure to Launch, so.
Yeah.
Well, and when you were gone before on your trip and hiking the trails, I'm sure your parents were concerned for your safety, just like we would be, only more so, of course. And I was always so relieved when I'd get an article from you, like I've mentioned to you before. He's safe. That's good. Now let's look about what he's actually done. And then we were always inspired. So it's fun. If our listeners are not familiar with you in any sort of a personal way, they can go to your Facebook page and see all the travels that you've been on, because the pictures, like we were talking about before we started doing the podcast, are just amazing. You want to tell us a little bit about some of those pictures you've taken, the sights you saw like that?
Some of the sights I saw, honestly, it was kind of strange on the river. I felt like all of the photos were the same. Like, they weren't the same in person, but on the river, it was just this horizon, you know? So after a while, it got really strange. I was not taking that many pictures. I would do a couple hundred miles of river and realize I took like 4 or 5 pictures the whole way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then when you're reminded that you need to take pictures, you go, well, I've already been here. I've already seen that.
Yeah.
It's water.
Yeah.
And mountains, folks.
I know. I mean, it was cool. Yeah.
But some of the ones that, and I'd said to you too, the one with the barn and the beautiful mountains in the back and the colors of the sky, it just doesn't get more picturesque than that. Mm-hmm. So they can find you, Evan Wrench, on Facebook and see some of those pictures too.
Definitely.
From all your journeys.
Well, there's something that we need to remind folks about, and that is that Creekside with Don and Jan is the official podcast of the Owl Creek Gazette.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we can never forget that.
No.
Once again, we have to ingrain this in folks. So I want to thank you, man, because it's you're doing stuff that I, you know, I'm kicking myself in the backside for not doing when I was your age and didn't have these responsibilities that we have today. And I'm envious. That's the only way. Envy is a sin, right?
That's what I'm told. Yeah.
Well, I think we can just, I look at it as I'm fascinated by it and enthusiastic. You've been kind enough to take us on your journey in many ways. So if we can go down that river right along with you in our mind's eye. And you should, since you write music, you can write those songs. I've already got another title, Paddler's Paradise.
You guys, like, seriously, I might bring you some songs soon. It'll be fun. It'll be really loud.
You can sing them on here, and then one day when you write that great American novel about your journeys. No?
Nah.
No? Okay. Well,
no,
I was
great American novel
no.
coming?
Okay. Just, you could take what you've written. We have several authors that have said that they're going to take the works they've done in the magazine, like if they write a column or a series, and put those together in book form. Your journey might not be bad.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Journeys with Evan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's probably a catchier title than that, but we'll work on that.
It sounds a whole lot like Weekends with Maury, but I don't know. We don't want to.
That's
do
Tuesdays with Maury and Weekends with Bernie.
She mixed the two together.
Did. So. Well, how are we doing on time?
Well, we're about out.
Okay. Well, we want you to come back anytime you travel and anytime you don't, just when you come in town.
Well,
because,
thanks for having me. It's been nice.
Yeah. We're glad to have you, and we'll hold you to those songs.
Sounds good.
Well, okay. here's some water for you, just in case.
In case you haven't had enough.
This is appropriate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Y'all take care now, and have a good week ahead, and we'll see what we can do for next week. I don't know how to top Evan. We can't do it.
We'll have to have him back on.
We're just going to do something different.
Okay.
That's all right. Y'all take care now.
Good night, folks.
Bye-bye.